It's V Week, and during these challenging times, ESPN and the V Foundation's fight against cancer has not stopped. If you are able, please support cancer research by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of what you give goes to cancer research.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Bets with Doug Kazarian, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. We are talking college football coming up, and again, the new format here, kind of rapid fire. Don't want to have the negative connotation of that, but we're just trying to get more opinions, kind of more games covered in a little bit quicker time. So not exactly long form podcasting here, but coming up, Aaron Renning, you first heard him for football, college football a couple of weeks ago, had a couple winners, had some last week. We missed those. That's my bad on that one to the audience there. But we also have Preston Johnson back. He's got a couple sides he likes. And Matt Humans and I are going to rip through a few games at the end. He's got a few sides as well. I'm going to ask him about a couple plays I'm eyeing, including San Jose State at Hawaii. They changed the venue for that one, so it's going from NorCal to the Hawaiian Islands. I'm also on Boise. I'll talk to Preston about that one. I'm on Alabama in the Iron Bowl. I touch on that with Preston as well. And Nevada. I like Nevada. I'm going back to Nevada. I think they're saying all the right things. I think they're going to bounce back after I backed them last week. So that was poor form on my part, but I think Fresno's a little bit of phony. So those are my opinions and plays. Go check them out on ESPN.com's chalk section. But we have a lot of games to get through with the guys.
So let's get to it. But before we do that, I want to remind everyone of another ESPN podcast, Stanford Steve and the Bear. Stanford Steve Coughlin and Chris the Bear Felica put their unique spin on the world of playing the odds in college football, horse racing, and more. Be sure to download and subscribe to Stanford Steve and the Bear, as well as Behind the Bets with Doug Kazarian on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want winners.
All right, let's start things off with a gentleman you heard right here on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. We were unable to get his winners last week over the holiday, miscommunication on my end, but Aaron Renning rejoins us. Good to have you back, my man.
Absolutely. I certainly missed you last week. Your listeners maybe missed me a little bit more. It's funny, Doug, college football is always a little bit strange for me, but I seem to get better as the year goes on. And, you know, usually you kind of do your best work at the start of a season. So that's just me and college football. And hopefully get a couple more winners here for you on this week's show.
Yeah, let's try that. We're going to go to the Big Ten again like we did last time. And you're on another total involving Purdue. And obviously Rondale Moore coming back is a big help for this Boilermakers offense.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been riding this Purdue team over the total, and I see no reason to get off of that now, Doug. Last time I was on the podcast, I talked about earlier in their schedule this year, their game against Iowa to start things off featured a lot more offense than the 44 points would designate. The game against Illinois, remember, Illinois was down to their four-string quarterback in that contest. Northwestern, well, we know Northwestern is the king of low-scoring games. And then, you know, the game against Minnesota went over the total. Last week against Rutgers went over the total. Certainly common denominator to a degree, Rondale Moore back in the fold. Two really good receivers for this Purdue team. Any change at quarterback really hasn't bothered this team. In fact, they might be better with the backup quarterback here. So it's all about the offense. This team is going to continue score. I'm always a little bit worried, Doug. We've seen this in college football that Rondale Moore is going to opt out at any minute. But I did play this over the total. Also, Purdue's best defensive player is out for this game due to COVID. Meanwhile, Nebraska, you know, they've had a ton of low scoring games. In fact, I think four of their five have gone under the total, but I still feel like this team is going to be more offense and defense when it's all said and done. Last week against Iowa, or the 46 points, and that wasn't a lot of offense. You know, they've been teeter-tottering at the quarterback position. And I think they finally found a way that they want to throw it with Martinez, put McCafferty in there to run the ball a little bit. So I think this offense is finally kind of found their bearings to a degree. You know, some of their games, again, Northwestern, Penn State, Iowa, those are all kind of under teams to me. I think we'll get plenty of offense. This game goes over the total.
I agree with you. And we're looking at McCaffrey here, I'm assuming.
I think it's going to be both. It's a combination.
Okay, so it's going to be both.
Yeah, last week it was more Martinez. I think he was like 18 to 20 passing. So I'm okay with that.
Okay, well, McCaffrey was so kind of weak in that Illinois game. But it just the line I just took it to him from the start. And it happens. It happens. Okay, another Big Ten total. But you're going under here. Why? I mean, I know why. I mean, at least I think I know why. But take me through this Wisconsin-Indiana total.
Yeah, I'm going under the total here. Obviously, the big news for Indiana. It's, you know, it's unfortunate they lose their quarterback. Penix Jr. has been dynamite at times so far this year. I, you know, I think it's definitely a loss. Tuttle's a somewhat of a highly touted guy here for the Hoosiers. But, you know, Penix has absolutely made some plays. I mean, he single-handedly brought them back in that Ohio State game, single-handedly brought them back in that Penn State game. You know, the Michigan game, he was very aggressive throwing the ball. I mean, to, you know, to some degree, kind of a one-man show offensively. I think they definitely take a step back. And keep in mind, they had been very aggressive on offense throwing the ball. I think they probably take a step back and not able to do that. So, again, taking you through their schedule here a little bit, that first game against Penn State, 71 total points. I went to overtime. That was a miracle to get that game over the total. There was no offense really going on throughout that game. The game against Rutgers, we know Rutgers has been a little bit more of an offensive team. Michigan's defense is clearly disappointed. Low-scoring game, 24-0 against Michigan State, Ohio State with their juggernaut offense. And then last week, against Maryland, only 38 points scored in that game. Again, Penix Jr. left in the second half. I think this offense definitely takes a step back. And keep in mind, and really both of these teams, I think you're talking about, and Doug, you don't hear too much in college football, but, you know, these two teams pride themselves on defense. Tom Allen's a defensive guy. And I would say two of the better coordinated defenses that you're going to have in all of college football. Wisconsin, you know, they've only played the three games so far. Illinois, Michigan, you saw just a defensive battle in that game against Northwestern. And when I've watched Wisconsin play, they are really void of playmakers this year on offense. I mean, Doug, when the fullback is the focal point of your offense, that's probably a good sign that you might want to bet that team under the total. And that's exactly what Wisconsin is. They just don't have a lot of playmakers. And they really don't have the running game that they've had in recent seasons as well. And I think this defense is absolutely really, really good. I mean, come on, they've played three games. They've allowed 7, 11, and 17 points. Now they get to go against an Indiana team with a backup quarterback. Low scoring, puts you to sleep, Big Ten game here under the total.
Maybe 20 to 10, something like that. All right, that's good stuff. Do you ever do first halves? I know you, I shouldn't say that. What would make you maybe pull the trigger on a first half on either of these?
I think the Purdue-Nebraska would be – I generally, if I'm going to play first half, I like the first half overs if I'm going to do that. And that would give me – probably put me on Nebraska-Purdue, but I did not play either one of these games in the first half.
Okay. Or yet. Yeah. All right, my man. Thank you very much. I know your time, your schedule, your sleep schedule is all upside down. So appreciate your taking the time.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thanks.
Baby needs a new pair of shoes. Come on.
Time now to welcome in Matt Eumanns, friend of the program. We've not had him on in a few weeks. So good to get you back, Matt. And there's been some, you and I talked last night, there's been some games on the move since then. Let's first talk about K-State. You liked them plus double digits here, and now they're only a touchdown underdog at home in Manhattan to Texas.
Yeah, I did like K-State plus 10. This line has dropped to 7. I mean, fortunately, I made two early bets this week, Indiana plus 15 and Kansas State plus 10, and I have not gotten screwed on any line moves or COVID issues on those two games yet. So there was a couple issues with some other games we'll talk about briefly, but I like K-State in this spot because I think the Longhorns are going to be a little bit flat. Everybody knows about the speculation of Urban Meyer to Texas, and Tom Herman has been talking openly about how the speculation about his job has hurt recruiting. And I think it's a negative situation with Texas right now. last week, everything was still out in front of this team, or at least most things. Texas had a chance to get to the Big 12 championship, had a lead at home late in the game against Iowa State. Tom Herman mismanaged the game, and the Longhorns lost to the Cyclones. I think that's a crushing loss for Texas. It really kind of, in a way, ruins Sam Ellinger's senior season. And now the Longhorns got to go on the road and cover double digits at K-State against Chris Klieman, who's a really good underdog coach, following in the footsteps of Bill Snyder's trend. I thought K-State's a great dog here. You know, I played it at plus 10. I could still recommend K-State at plus 7. I think the Wildcats are live here. They rushed for 256 yards, 7.3 per carry in that one-point loss at Baylor last week. Sacked Charlie Brewer 7 times. Klieman 10-4 as a dog. And K-State 3-0 against the spread versus Tom Herman, who has covered only one of his past 7. So a lot of things pointed to K-State play. Not surprised to see that line move. In fact, Doug, I was really surprised that line was 10 in the first place.
Yeah, and one thing I've done, and we've talked about flat spots in the past, like one game that comes to mind is Boston College, Notre Dame. I like to play the first quarter because maybe over 4 quarters, the talent will win out, and that was certainly what would happen with Notre Dame. But first quarter, if you think teams can jump out. Now, I think K-State can cover this for the game. I don't think it's like a huge talent gap with Texas, but I do like the Wildcats in the first quarter for all the reasons you mentioned. Have you ever approached things like that?
Once in a while. I think you bet that way more often than I do.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I don't disagree with that philosophy because I do think I'll be really surprised if Texas came out fired up in this game.
Just right.
All the issues with this team. So you got to think, I would certainly expect the Longhorns to be a little bit flat, especially in the first half.
Okay, let's go to another game that's had some movement since you texted me. That was Liberty in the big showdown with the Chanticleers, or Chanticleers, I believe is the proper pronunciation, Coastal Carolina. This line's been all over the place with some COVID stuff. You when we texted, it was plus 7, but this line seemingly gone up.
Yeah, I see 11 out there.
Yeah.
Right now at some places now. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on here, but what I can gather today, we have COVID issues, and that might affect Liberty quarterback Malik Willis. By the way, an Auburn transfer who's got 30 touchdowns, 20 passing, 10 rushing. He's who makes Hugh Freeze's offense go. I mean, if Willis is going to be sidelined, I can't recommend this play, and I haven't bet it yet, fortunately, but I had planned to bet it real soon. I woke up today and saw the line move, started scratching my head and said, what's going on here? Did some investigating and found out that seems to be the case. Nothing's been confirmed yet. What I liked about Liberty is it had played the better schedule. You know, 3 ACC opponents on the road, Syracuse, Virginia Tech, NC State. Flames ranked 7th against the pass, 172 yards per game, which obviously is important when you're facing Grayson McCall of Coastal Carolina. So I thought there were a lot of things actually pointing to Liberty as a dog here, but the COVID issues, let's just sit back and wait and see what happens here.
This is where College Game Day will be this weekend. First time ever to Coastal Carolina. Not surprisingly, though, they're not going to Akron for the big showdown in the MAC between the Zips and Bowling Green. Zips favored, by the way, -3. Do you have an opinion on that one?
I had to pick this for a couple contests I'm in, and I picked Akron -2.5. Only because I watched the Akron-Kent State game, I think it was, when Teon Dollard, the running back, just went off for the Zips. And I was impressed by his performance. I don't know how you can have a strong opinion on a game like this. But I leaned to Akron a little bit at less than a field goal.
I do, too. I remember many years ago, about 10 years ago, I told you I had a strong opinion in the Washington State Apple Cup. It was the Rotten Apple Cup. I think they had combined one win. And I got so hosed. I think I had the Huskies, and they like miracle completion for Wazoo, and they got the outright win or something insane. But you know, it happens, and it was fun though. It was fun to get involved in that. I will not be as involved in that. But to your point, it's tough to have a strong opinion. But let's go to the Big Ten because you got a couple strong opinions here. We'll start with Indiana. They lose Penix, obviously a big blow to the Hoosiers. Kind of just season because they had so many nice moments, not just the win over Penn State, but some other ones, win over Michigan. But they're catching 14 in a hook here at Camp Randall. over Wisconsin, against Wisconsin, but and you like the dog here.
I do. I bet against Wisconsin with Northwestern catching 7 a couple weeks ago. I thought the Badgers were a little bit overrated. They had played Illinois and Michigan, and that Wolverines team was just dead, flatlining. And, you know, that Northwestern defense is legit, despite what happened against Michigan State last week. But I'm not afraid to fade the Badgers a little bit here. You know, Graham Mertz is still a freshman who had a great game against Illinois, had a miserable game against Northwestern. You know, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle with Graham Mertz, but he's still a young guy. He's maturing. This is going to be his fourth start. Wisconsin has not played a lot of football. Indiana's 6-0 against the spread, you know, for Tom Allen. All he does is cover. The Hoosiers 7-1 against the spread the past 8 as dogs. I just go back to this Wisconsin offense, which is not the same force on the ground that it was with Jonathan Taylor. You know, this offense has changed. It's not as fearsome. And I think if you watched Indiana-Ohio State, you saw a defense made Buckeyes quarterback Justin Fields look bad for the first time in his college career. Indiana's defense is legit. And if the Hoosiers can do that to Justin Fields, they can do it to Graham Mertz. And, you know, I'm not going to say that the Indiana season is shot just because Michael Penix went down. I was never really a big Michael Penix fan. I think he was inconsistent. At times he would look great, at other times very inaccurate as a passer. Jack Tuttle steps in. He transferred from Utah last season. He was a four-star recruit. He had offers from USC, Alabama, LSU, Wisconsin. It's not like the Hoosiers are throwing some scarecrow in at quarterback this week and they don't have a chance. I think this number is a little bit too high. And like I said, I took 15 at Circus Sports, but I'd certainly say put me down for Indiana plus 14.5 here.
Yeah, north of 2 touchdowns. No, you're right. And Hoosiers have covered 6 straight as a dog. Tom Allen, if you listen to him in the locker room, I think they're going to be just fine in terms of motivation to play this game, even without losing, even after losing Penix. So I'm with you there. Another Big Ten dog you're on. And I was very close to pulling the trigger, and I might do it before kickoff because I've been on Rutgers. I got burned by the Scarlet Knights, so I'm a little gun shy there. But I think you have to take them with the points over Penn State at home.
Yeah, I didn't have many college football winners last weekend. I'll admit that. But one I had was Rutgers as a double-digit dog against Purdue. And, you know, partly I thought it was going to be a flat spot for the Boilermakers off a couple of tough losses to Northwestern and Minnesota. Rutgers took advantage of that. And Greg Schiano made some – I'll say he made some pretty good halftime adjustments. And he figured out that Purdue could not stop the run. And I thought that Schiano outcoached Jeff Brohm in that game last week, outcoached Jeff Brohm and Bob Diaco, the defensive coordinator. Rutgers has got more talent than people think. You know, yes. You look at the Scarlet Knights, you say, well, this is the first year of Schiano's program. They haven't won in the Big Ten for 3 years. They have talent. And that's fine with me because I think this team's been consistently underrated in the betting market. The one time I lost with Rutgers when I took the points at home against Indiana, and I really felt like, you know, Rutgers played better than the final score indicated in that game. But, you know, the Hoosiers happened to be hot at the time. Penn State's not hot. Nittany Lions are 1-5 against the spread, and James Franklin got his first win last week, basically because I think the Wolverines have all but quit on the season. They also had a quarterback that was banged up, couldn't move the offense. I like some things about Rutgers here. Plus 11.5. I'll take that. Greg Schiano, 3-2 against spread. And I think the Scarlet Knights now believe they are a good football team. You know, when it's one thing when you're in competitive games and you keep losing. But wins are important, you know. And if all you have to do is look at Indiana, how much confidence the Hoosiers gained when they started winning early in the season, beat Penn State and then got things rolling. I think that was a big win for Rutgers last week on the road against a pretty good football team. So I'm going to go plus 11.5. A couple of Pac-12 dogs I kind of like this week, Doug. I have not pulled the trigger on yet. I like Cal plus 9.5. I would like to see that. If that hit 10, I would definitely bet Cal.
And yeah, we're at 10 there.
What's that?
We're at 10 there.
Okay. Well, yeah. Last night when I looked, I didn't see a 10 on the screen. So I'll probably play Cal then at plus 10. And I'm going to play Stanford as a double-digit dog, I think, at Washington. So that's pretty much what I have on the radar this week in college football.
All right, man. Well, it's good stuff. Good to touch on some games that have moved. Maybe they'll move back. Always appreciate the insight and your time, man.
Hey, you bet. Anytime. Thanks.
Pay that man his money.
All right, time now to welcome in friend of the program, a man you heard last week, but also a man you see on Daily Wager a bunch, Preston Johnson. Preston, you have two plays for us today. Sides. We'll start the Big 12. Why are you on the Pokes?
I mean, you know, most of the stuff that I do, if the number's too low or I have a discrepancy, then I'm more often than not going to bet it. And, you know, this is one where I'm not sure if the recency of Oklahoma State giving up a bunch of points to Texas Tech and then, you know, struggling against Oklahoma, you know, prior to those two showings, the defense had been, you know, top 5 to 10 in just about every metric. They're still top 25 despite those two performances in every metric. They're at least getting somewhat healthier offensively. I think this should be closer to 5. We're still getting under a field goal. So Oklahoma State's a play for me there. I guess the TCU team and, you know, Gary Patterson, bless his soul, he's done a lot of great things moving over there from TCU or from the Mountain West and then into the Big 12 and kept them at least, you know, relevant, but they're not a special team this year by any means, not one I'm afraid of. And, you know, with the lack of home field being a big thing this season throughout most leagues and sports, but even college football, you know, this isn't one where I'm going to be unwilling to back in my numbers and trust my numbers at this point in the season.
Yeah, I thought Oakley State did a nice job bouncing back, and obviously they didn't cover because the late touchdown or falling down.
Yeah, they should have probably. Yeah.
Right, but like still hanging 50 on Texas Tech, still a good effort despite what happened the previous week in their annual rivalry game, Bedlam. So it was good to see them and that offense click. So I certainly see what you're saying there. You want to be another play, this one in the Pac-12, and I've talked about how much I have my man crush on Justin Wilcox and the Cal Bears. Started the year so poorly. It was a weird game, obviously, UCLA. I've been reluctant to jump in on Cal just because of that first impression and the moving parts and, the you know, obviously the COVID season. So they have yet to win a game here. They lose on a missed PAT in their rivalry game to Stanford, but you like them with the points.
I do, and maybe it is because they're 0-3. Now, if you recall early in the season, they had their first game canceled. There was a player that tested positive. I believe it was on the defensive side of the ball. And then there may have been a few more that tested positive throughout that week because they had to do a pretty crucial and strict lockdown for contact tracing with a lot of the defense. The first game they played was, you know, most of their defensive starters weren't even in the game. It's been a weird start for them, you know, reasonably so, understandably so. But they've gotten a lot of those guys slowly back. I thought they played really well against Stanford. Even last season, you look at this team, Garbers at quarterback, they were 7-0. They were a really good team because I don't think you should lose trust in Wilcox. What he did at Wisconsin as a defensive coordinator and had them like 1 or 2 in defensive efficiency for a few seasons straight, and then turning this Cal program that I think had won 1 or 2 games prior to him arriving, he deserves all the credit in the world. They are still a team you need to respect. And if there was ever a time to buy low on them, I think it's here. My projection's closer to 7, and we're getting double digits. Now, Oregon, I think most people are going to say, off of that loss to their rival Oregon State, like they should never have lost that game. Like they're a way better team. They are better than Cal. Yes, they're elite offensively, but defensively they rank outside the top 100, and they haven't really played, you know, great teams, but they rank outside the top 100 in, you know, EPA success rate, a lot of those efficiency metrics. And so for me, it's just one, trusting the numbers, but kind of buying low on a Cal team against the like narrative that Oregon's going to bounce back and route this Cal team that hasn't won a game yet. So that kind of all mold together into some value here on the Bears, and I'll take it at double digits or better.
Okay, so you grab there. I wanted to run a couple games by you. Alabama LSU, obviously it's a monster line, but the performance of these teams, the discrepancy has been there. I'm going to lay it with Bama. I just think LSU has been that bad. Look, we don't ever use the transitive properties like an efficient handicapping method, but just to put it in perspective, they just beat Auburn by 29 and Auburn smoked LSU. So I just think it's like the Tigers have no quarterback play. Their defense is weak. I think they might even quit. Like it's a bad situation going on right now. So I'm laying it.
If there was one game they're not going to quit, it would probably be this one just because it's a somewhat like a rivalry game, and they have always played games close in the past. And, you know, then they have to go to Florida the following week, which is tough. So, I mean, it's a tough sledding for a team that really, I don't know. I was actually thinking about this just the other day. Have we had a national champion drop off like within a season as drastically as LSU has. You mentioned getting routed by Auburn. I think that was kind of the epitome of it. They've improved defensively slightly. They held A&M, I think, to 20 points, and they backdoored at the end with a garbage touchdown to lose, I think it was 20-7. So I don't know. I think that my like numbers straight, raw data, what it should be is like 26. So I'm never going to lay 28.5, but I'm certainly not backing LSU either.
Yeah, you answer your question. The 2010 Auburn won the national championship, and next year they were underdogs by 12 and then 21 twice, Alabama and LSU.
So really?
That's the largest point spread for defending national champion. Before that was 1998, Nebraska catching 11 against Kansas State. So this will be an all-time for since the FBS-FCS split in 1978. So it's certainly notable. So it's a good question on your part. Boise with this UNLV team on Friday, 28 is the line. I grabbed it. I have a feeling it'll trickle up a little bit. UNLV is pitiful. They're winless against the spread. They have horrendous defense. I think Boise State does not punt until the fourth quarter. I think the Broncos are going to name the score here.
UNLV is tricky. All right. So I've backed them. I think they've been successful once, and I've backed them like three times. So I think I'm 1-2 backing them against the spread, I should say. They're 0-5 as far as that goes. It's weird because they grayed out better offensively on a per play basis. Like their EPA, like their top, I think they're like top 40 in EPA per rush. Like they've been able to run the ball fairly efficiently. They don't have a great quarterback. They still struggle there. They're not very good defensively. But when you like, what I do when I have box scores and I go back and compare what actually happened, what the final score was, but look at the underlying numbers during the game and kind of make like an expected score, like a game grade for that team. They always grade better than the final score. And eventually maybe you chalk it up to coaching, they're going through a whole regime change anyway, and a bunch of new stuff in Vegas. But if I had to do it, I mean, this should be like 25. So it's just kind of like you're paying the fade UNLV premium at this point. But I am staying off. I don't think I've kind of had enough. Like I said, I don't know. There's two times they've bit me already this season. but it wouldn't surprise me if like in 3 weeks you're like, oh, okay, that kind of makes some sense. Like UNLV rebounded, just because there are some numbers, especially offensively, that line up with them. At least they should be scoring more points than they have to this point. And again, we're working with small sample sizes and only five games. So they're a team I think that can be on the uptrend, as opposed to a team that I'm looking to fade now after the numbers have kind of gone too far the other way.
Right. I think the QB is inept and the defense is really bad, but I'm with you. Like at some point there should be market correction. All right, my man. Well, thank you for taking the time.
Sounds good, man. Thank you.
All right, bud. Take care.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Behind the Bets podcast. Thanks to everyone for downloading, rating, and reviewing. So a lot of plays here from Matt, Preston, and ER. Thanks to them for taking the time on this busy Wednesday to share their insight and their wisdom, if you will. And we'll be back tomorrow with a new twist to the NFL podcast. Murray will be there, but we'll have a couple other guests as well. So thank you very much to everyone, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.